Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Yes, indeed, The Advertising Show, back with you for another weekend here. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe is a Big Radio Midgets production. It's a two-hour spectacular of how to and what not to do in advertising and marketing, and you would be wise to stick around for that. By the way, I want to remind you, theadvertisingshow.com is our website, and it's a real interactive and active website. Not only does it take emails and spit out responses, but, boys and girls, it holds all of the shows that we have done. And that's kind of cool because, for instance, like right after today's show, we'll be able to give you an opportunity to pick up a copy of the show from theadvertisingshow.com.
Commercial free, by the way.
Commercial free.
Yeah, which is ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
It's ironic. The Advertising Show, commercial free. Yeah.
It'd just be called The Show. Something like that. So we've got Jeff Blackman on the show today. He'll be with us here in just a little while. He's the author of Stop Whining and Start Selling. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. That's not a bad thing to do. Get over it.
I like the title. You know, when you run into a salesman, they're sometimes whining.
No, really? I never knew that.
You know, if you're a salesman, the leads suck is why my business is down.
Right, right.
Or if business is up, it's the wonderful product that the boss happens to provide the salespeople with, or the wonderful service that he provides them to sell. But we all know with regard to advertising, if the business is not good and the salesmen aren't selling, it's the advertising.
That sucks.
Exactly.
We've got Mary Lou Quinlan on the way, Just Ask a Woman. Today she's going to talk about weight, and she is not referring to you and me.
She's not talking about a yellow or red light.
No, it's the E-I-G-H-T.
You know, last week, the bad advertising item from SlimFast that we featured, that our fine, upstanding, wonderful comedian, who's the spokesperson for SlimFast?
I don't remember.
Well, we talked about her last week. It was Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Yeah, the comedian.
Okay.
Female.
Oh, Whoopi. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Whoopi.
Yeah, there we go.
And if you've seen that spot, where our complaint last week was that we're wondering why they would hire such a person, because if you're going to lose some weight, you want to transform into something beautiful. So we'll hear what Mary Lou has to say. We're going to bring her up first.
I think very quickly. As a matter of fact, Patrick Meyer is talking about carb mania as well. You know, all the carb
timely
stuff.
Yeah.
So why don't we bring her on right now?
All right.
Well, let's do it.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
What's up with women's weight? If you look at most ads, you'd think women were at their skinniest. But with the average American woman wearing a size 12, well, actually it's 14, she's fudging it, the real money is being made in the burgeoning plus-size market. Women will tell you two stories about their weight. The public story is that they want to feel good about themselves and be loved for who they are. Ironically, Hollywood gets that. In sitcoms, it's the bigger women who get the best lines, whether it's Karen on Will and Grace or Mrs. Romano on Raymond. How does that translate to consumer goods? Comfort is emotional code for clothes that stretch and food that nurtures. Women's private story is that most women have a secret hidden in their closets. It's the pair of jeans that haven't fit since college, but hey, you never know. Women swear to me that they will work out or lose weight someday. They haven't given up on being thinner, and women hate the anorexic models, yet they still check them out. Won't you choke if you see one more ad with a skinny woman doing a yoga backbend for a low-fat salad dressing? As a marketer, how do you figure out what women want weight-wise? When you're casting commercials, find models who look like someone that women would like to talk to, not just who the director would like to date. Does she look like she downs a piece of cheesecake every once in a while? Would she let out a belly laugh? It helps if she has a belly. Whether you're selling pants or peanut butter, remember, the mirror in her head is full of hope and forgiveness. She could use a little of both from you.
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling, and start listening.
Good advice there, and there's a couple of sensitive males. You know, we have those jeans in the closet as well.
Well, and if we wore our jeans from college, it would be bell bottoms, I suppose. And Now they're back in style.
I know. I had a pair of red, white, and blue bell bottoms that went with those boots, those Indian boots with the fringe on the side.
Did you get that as a result of falling in love with Easy Rider and the?
No, I just got them. I got them because I was in a band. You had to look like that, right?
Gee,
and it was good. It was fun.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Well, that's she's you know, the timing on that's right because she can't turn on TV or listen to the radio without hearing a spot for weight reduction center or a gymnasium. They don't call them that now. Workout
fitness
centers,
place, yeah, right,
fitness
exactly.
Centers, yeah.
And did you see the Atkins thing? They've got some revisions. They're challenging the Atkins concept. Mm-hmm. The old man dies at 72. Okay, I guess.
Well. It wasn't related to the Atkins, though.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No.
But, you know, it's interesting. I was almost going to feature in today's advertising showcase Subway, which I think has done a great job, which we're not going to do because I'm talking about it now. But Subway's done a great job on jumping on and paying licensing fees for Atkins and being able to align themselves with the Atkins brand. Mm-hmm. And they jumped out of the chute quickly after the first of the year. And I got to believe that first quarter sales on end of the year will reflect brisk business at Subway because, it's a great concept, and everybody's talking Atkins. We're talking Atkins.
Sure.
So,
and it's the closest thing to reality in terms of reach. I mean, you don't go to McDonald's to eat healthy food.
Right.
And you don't go to Burger King.
Right.
To eat a burger without a bun. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Which you reported on last week. Did we ever find out where they're charging more so you can get it without the bun?
I don't. Probably so.
They probably are.
So, but what I'm saying is Subway is the most realistic avenue. So whatever they might do. Is going to help him. And who was that kid that used to be on Subway? What was his name?
Oh, you know, Jay.
Isn't that funny?
Jay or
Jared.
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 Jared. Yeah.
Jared's gone.
Yeah. They gave him the hook.
Yeah. Well, they had him on for quite a while, right. So it was kind of cool.
He used to travel around and give talks and appearances on local media. He's supposedly a nice guy.
Yeah.
Talked to some people that have interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
He always brought food.
Yes, he did. Sometimes, yes. Carb Mania is Patrick Meyer's deal. As long as we're talking about yogurt, Dannon has a carb control yogurt. You know, yogurt's good for you in many, many ways. So they've got something coming out new. There's a January launch, so it'd be this month, obviously, for carb control yogurt.
It'll be interesting to see. Carb is the big deal right now. Do I have time to read this real quick?
Well, we got to actually, we got less than a minute here.
Well, the Amish are going to get their own reality show.
Yeah, I heard that.
UPM announced recently that they plan an unnamed reality show about the Amish rite of passage called Rumspringa. Rumspringa, which is, for those that may not know, it's when teens that live in the outside world for a while to decide whether or not they want to return to Amish traditions. Can you imagine that? Car, no car, lights, no lights. Yeah, let's go home.
Get the horse.
Yeah, buggy.
Wow.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. UPN.
Saw some Amish in Ohio when I was there a couple of years ago.
Did you buy some cheese?
No. The guy was sitting. He had his horse. He had his little wagon there.
Mm-hmm.
He was selling something at an old abandoned gas station on the corner. Like, wow, that's pretty cool. Jeff Blackman is up next on the advertising show. Jeff is in the green room right now. I guess that's the color of his office. Stop whining and start selling. He's out of Chicago, and we'll talk to Jeff in just a minute on the advertising show.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Day after day, more people depend on Subaru wagons than any imported wagon in America. And with good reason. They're reliable and durable. In fact, if Subaru didn't make your life easier.
This is the advertising show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth here, and there's a Brad Chiat spot out of L.A.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's one of his.
Rawhide.
Good spot. And we've got Jeff Blackman on the show today. Jeff, let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a speaker, author, success coach, broadcast personality, and lawyer. Okay?
Well,
what if he's a doctor,
him.
Too? He heads Blackman & Associates, a creative communications firm in the Chicagoland area. His clients call him a business growth specialist. For example, he customized referrals, Your Road to Results learning system helped one client generate in 23 months new business directly attributable to referrals of $230 million. So, hey, Jeff, it's great to have you on the show this weekend. We know you're talking out of Glenview, Illinois. Where is that? Where is Glenview?
We are 13 miles, Ray, northeast of O'Hare. So I can get to a United B terminal within 22 minutes from the time I leave my home.
So and if he's unlucky, a United will land on his house or something, right?
That makes it much more convenient.
So yes, if you've flown to Chicago and looked out your window as you approach O'Hare, chances are you've seen Jeff's home.
Yeah.
And if somebody is doing that in the very near future, i.e. this week, I will hold up a sign that says The Advertising Show to welcome them to the city.
We were thinking of just painting it on your roof, and that way if they look down, they'll see it and they'll identify that home. So
already been done. Take care of this week.
Well, good. So
Jeff does that nude sunbathing out back, too, so that's another way you'll recognize him.
Sure, that's true. And in this chilly weather, you'll certainly recognize Jeff.
Gentlemen, it's all part of the integrated marketing effort here.
Well, there you go. And there was a Seinfeld series about that, wasn't there, Ray? Shrinkage?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Guys, I think we diverted quickly.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to – we haven't been to it yet, so we're not really getting back to it. But Stop Whining, Start Selling, an outstanding book that I had the opportunity to read, Jeff. And I don't say that just indiscriminately to all guests. I thought it was a very good read. And let me jump in and ask you, I guess you're suggesting a lot of salespeople out there are whiners by nature of your title of the book.
Well, what's interesting about the title is people have often asked me, where did it come from? And originally when John Wiley and Son said, hey, Jeff, we want you to write a book, I didn't even have a title. And it hit me literally at about 3 a.m., which I write about in the book, that I popped up out of bed. My wife said, what are you doing? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, honey, I've got the title. And Stop Whining, Start Selling actually came from the motivation of my clients, because they are the ones who would often say to me, I wish that our people would stop whining and start selling. Mm-hmm. So what I do quickly within the book is I help an individual, or for that matter, a corporation, transform their culture with this life-changing surgical-like procedure that is called the whinectomy. And what that means, guys, is that moans and groans are eliminated, complaints and whimpers eradicated, belly aches and gripes removed, and the real good news is that it doesn't require anesthesia. There is no bloodshed or pain and suffering. The really good news is that it's all about results and profits.
Well, you know, you mentioned popping up out of bed, and I noticed on your bio here that it says Pop Publishing released and distributes your audio cassettes. Is there any tie in there?
Absolutely unrelated.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Could have been good.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned in reading your book, I found it interesting that it kind of reminded me a bit of Harry Beckwith's series of books. If our listeners are many are familiar, I'm sure. If you're not, it's some titles include Selling the Invisible and The Invisible Touch, What Clients Love. And the format, in effect, is, you know, where chapters can actually be a few pages. And I find that that style of format of book lends itself to going back to frequently. Did you follow his format, or was that something you came up with your own?
Well, Harry wasn't necessarily an influence for this particular book. Instead, I learned years ago, and really any of the books that I've written, whether it's been the Results book, whether it's Carpe AM, Carpe PM, Seize Your Destiny, the Peak Your Profits book, a simple strategy. And that is business people, salespeople, entrepreneurs, especially those in sales and marketing, we're bombarded so often by external stimuli that you need to grab somebody's attention quick and maintain it. And I found the best way to be able to do that is to, in essence, give people high-quality content, value-driven, profit-producing strategies fast. So these are strategies that are quick, and they can have ethical, dramatic, long-term as well as short-term impact upon one's business. And that's why, conceptually, there are no chapters in the book. Instead, there are 9 profit pillars. Each one of them is a pillar of profit. And then within each, there's a series of, depending upon the profit pillar or chapter, probably anywhere from about 8 to 12 profit points.
Well, I had Ray and I had Harry Beckwith on the show a few months ago, and I'll say to you what I said to him, which and I mean this in the most complimentary way. It's so jam-packed with good information. I find that it would be difficult to read large volumes of your book at any one time. So we're going to take little parts of your book and zero in on particular areas. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit very briefly about your background. You started out of law school selling ad time for a radio station. And by the way, congratulations for getting your ad degree, but not, I'm sorry, your law degree, but not practicing law. But you sold ad time for a radio station. What was that experience like for you?
Well, what happened is my background undergraduate, as well as in high school, was in radio. So when I was in high school, when I wasn't playing sports, I would actually be broadcasting them. So I played three sports in high school. But as a freshman, I actually began broadcasting our high school basketball games.
That's
and I had
a great
ball.
Idea. Nice beginning.
The local college station? Or?
No, this is for our high school.
High school.
Oh,
yeah.
High school. I get you.
And looking back to reports that I used to do in grammar school when I was doing book reports, I would pretend that I was a broadcaster. So at a very young age, I've kind of envisioned myself as a broadcaster. And then in college at the University of Illinois, did the same thing. Undergraduate degree in advertising, always wanted to go on to law school. I envisioned myself as being a litigator. As a child of the 60s, I was influenced by Judd for the Defense, Perry Mason, the traditional courtroom dramas. Did radio in college. And then once I got to law school, you quickly discover if you want to litigate, you don't litigate.
Mm-hmm.
And friends who are now attorneys, who are litigators, they spend very little time in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of the time is spent outside of the courtroom in terms of trying to figure out how you don't get to the courtroom.
Exactly.
So I went, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So academically, I was very successful as a freshman or first year at law school, but I wasn't having any fun. So I left, and I went back to work for both a small radio brokerage company here in Chicago on Michigan Avenue, or just off over on Wacker Drive. And then I also worked for a very small ad agency, which was a ball, because that gave me a chance to do everything. Client contact, I was an account exec. In addition, I would be able to handle media. I had the ability to write ads, whether it was for radio or television or print. And that was just great experience. Went to law school at night. My grades actually went up, because for the first time I had a focus on time or self-management, which is actually, by the way, an entire profit pillar in the book, and we call it Fly Like an Eagle, and that is singularly focused on self-management or time management strategies. But then once I graduated law school, took the bar exam, thankfully passed that the first time, I had to decide, what do I want to do? And I decided not to practice law, and instead I really began my business, although somewhat amorphous, in 1982.
Well, Jeff, let's pick up on Fly Like an Eagle, one of your points, and we're going to do that after my friend
break.
Ray gets us out of this segment and into a break.
Cool.
Probably requiring pushing some buttons, too, somewhere along the line.
Let's try this one.
You know, here's real... not quite yet. This is interesting. We also want to ask Jeff how it was to interview Marcel Marceau, and we want you to hold that thought, okay?
Well, actually, let's pause for a moment and see if we can do that.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Good,
yeah.
Good. I like that.
That was good.
Well, that was obscene, too.
Can't believe he used that finger.
Anyway, Wacky World of Marketing with our executive producer, Bruce Abbott, is coming up in just a moment. And more with Jeff Blackman, author of Stop Whining and Start Selling. And we'll be back in just a moment.
And now, it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Washington, where Reuters reports FCC Chairman Michael Powell has finally proposed barring the F word from most radio and broadcast television, regardless of the context. You see, the proposal would overturn an October FCC decision that ruled the word was not indecent when U2 singer Bono used the F-bomb while accepting an award on the Golden Globe Awards. To succeed, Powell will have to garner at least two other votes for the proposal, and four other FCC commissioners will be considering the issue. And that, my friends, is the wacky freaking world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I'm Ewell Gibbons. Many consider me an expert on natural foods like cattails. Yes, they're edible. I look for natural ingredients in my food. That's why grape nuts is part of my breakfast. This is a wholesome cereal made from wheat and barley. These natural ingredients are baked into crunchy nuggets and fortified with 8 essential vitamins.
You're on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. Well, there you go. What killed Ewell Gibbons?
Eating
carbs.
Natural food.
Carbs.
Yeah.
Too many carbs in the cattails.
That's what I've heard.
Anyway, we're back with Jeff Blackman, author of Stop Whining and Start Selling. And he was a radio talk show, he said, and television show host as well, talking to such folks as Oprah, mm-hmm. before Oprah got her own TV network, I guess.
You know,
Ted Koppel, Jerry Seinfeld.
When he had Oprah on, he said that his opening line with Oprah was, Oprah, pick a weight. just pick a weight. And then, of course, she never appeared again on his show.
She's done much better, though.
No, she's done well. And, yeah. And now that she's been on Jeff Blackman's show, she's slowly but surely working her way back to Letterman.
That's exactly
not
right.
Not back to, but for the first time.
This weekend out of Glenview, Illinois, outside of Chicago.
Yeah, Jeff, welcome back to the show. We mentioned before the break, for you did, I should say, Fly Like an Eagle, which is Profit Point, as you call it in your book. I call it Chapter 97. And, you know, we talk a lot here on The Advertising Show about how time-compressed consumers are and how just, you know, getting a consumer's attention nowadays seems to be the objective of much advertising you see and hear out there. You talk about managing time and how critical that is for a salesperson. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's really critical for any successful individual. And what will often happen at the conclusion of an interview that I'm doing, somebody will say to me, okay, Jeff, what is the one thing, the most crucial thing for somebody to take away from this interview? So if you'd like, we can address that now.
Well, actually, that was one of my questions. So let's not do that, because I'd like to actually ask you that question later in the interview.
Well, we'll get there, but let me address it now because we can repeat it. It's that important.
Okay.
And plain and simple, it's that when all is said and done, more should not be said than done. And what that focuses on is the key being execution or action. I often like to say to people, whether they're entrepreneurs, whether they're corporate chieftains, whomever they may be, that procrastination is your foe, that indecision is an assassin. And you've got to figure out how to make every day count.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Sandburg's got a wonderful quote, a fellow Chicagoan, where he once said, the time for action is now. It's never too late to do something. So there is a question that I pose in Stop Whining, Start Selling, which is the following. And it's really kind of a gut check question. It's a tough question for somebody to confront, yet they must. And here it is. What haven't you done that if you did would significantly change and upgrade how you do business?
That's an interesting question. I imagine a lot of people haven't asked that of themselves.
Well, they haven't, because the preference is to whine as opposed mm-hmm. to discover whether or not there's another strategic way to attack whatever the challenge or opportunity might be.
And when you ask that of a group, say you're conducting a seminar, what are some examples of what you get as far as feedback from your audience?
Well, the real key to their responses is when I ask people that question, I don't do it in a cavalier sense because it's an important question. And we will often give people either time at a program or, as we like to call them, a results session. It's a euphemism, but it's a really good one. Or we give them time, meaning we'll give them a week. And then 1 week later, they might send me an email to jeff@jeffblackman.com, which will say Focus 5. Now, what's that? Focus 5 is my request from that individual, and I will politely urge anyone listening today as well to commit to a Focus 5. And a Focus 5 is what are the 5 quantifiable, actionable behaviors that you can engage in to improve, upgrade, or enhance what you do or how you might be able to grow your business. So you can't simply say, well, I'm going to communicate more effectively with customers or clients. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's general.
Need to be more specific, yeah.
You got to have specificity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you say, okay, on or before March 1st, I will implement a strategy to create my outside board of directors or my outside advisory council with my customers and clients, that's specific.
Mm-hmm.
We drive specificity.
Do you find that many have difficulty getting to a list of five?
Of course they do,
yeah.
Because they haven't thought about it before.
Right.
Yet those who do find it remarkable, because now when they awake in the morning, they realize they've got 1,440 minutes, just like everybody else. And they are singularly focused on what they hope to accomplish. I often tell people, guys, that you are not compensated for intent. You are compensated for results.
You know, we have about a minute left here. You started in radio sales. Many of our audience sells intangibles. In less than a minute or so, is there a difference between selling a tangible and how you approach it versus an intangible?
Well, of course there's a difference. Yet on the time frame, let me address a philosophy, because it's a philosophy that I think will well serve anyone who is listening today. Thankfully, over the years, I've had the opportunity to help a whole bunch of folks who sell both products and services. And it's important to realize what you truly sell. And I think the only thing that somebody sells is a more favorable future. That's the only thing that a decision maker invests in. They invest in your ability to deliver to them a more favorable future, period. So your early discussion to kick off the show today, when you were talking about fitness centers, health clubs, weight reduction, Subway, and Jared, all geared to a more favorable future.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can figure out how you can help your decision maker attain their more favorable future, then the eventual sale of the product or the service, we can talk about more nuances after the break, then it's easy.
Very good. Let's take that break right now, Jeff, here on The Advertising Show. Jeff Blackman, stop whining, start selling. More with Jeff and Ray and Brad in just a minute.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say but, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. When you say but, you've said the word that means you like to.
You're on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and our special guest today, Jeff Blackman. It says Jeff is in Glenview, Illinois, and he says he's a devoted, loyal, but often depressed Chicago Cubs fan. And might we suggest, Jeff, that you try the White Sox, okay? Because or maybe not.
Yeah.
Not a comparable product, my friend.
Well,
okay. We thought we'd get that kind of response from you, Jeff.
They're passionate about their Cubs in Chicago, I know.
You ever thought about the Houston Astros? They have a pretty good team, too, Jeff.
Well, the Astros should be especially tough, unfortunately, this year with the acquisition of Andy Pettit and Clemens.
Right.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, and we were happy to be able to get him out of New York under the guise of retirement, and we appreciate that. Back to your book, Jeff, if we can. You were mentioning before the break about selling intangibles, and in effect you said that you have to sell some future benefit. Is there a difference between, say, the purchase cycle of an intangible, whether the benefit is going to come the day after tomorrow versus the benefit coming months down the road?
Well, of course. The sales cycle can differ with every product and with every service, so it's hard to deal with universals. Yet the real key is to best understand what you need to do to help your end user, whomever they might be, whether it's the consumer, whether it's someone involved in corporate America. You have to have them focus on the outcome, the result, the value, the benefit, the advantage of your particular offering. All too often, people get hung up on the facts and the features and the benefits. That's a mistake.
You know,
people don't make decisions based upon that.
We hear so much in advertising, both on the media sales end as well as certainly practitioners on the agency and marketing side, of managing clients' expectations. That's a buzzword we've heard for a few years now. What do you think about that? Is that something that is really worth putting some time in to make sure that a client's expectations of whatever it is you happen to be selling are, down to earth and real?
Well, you need to focus on reality. We talk about terms like CRM, customer relationship management, which I think is a misnomer. And people don't want expectations to be managed. They don't want the relationship to be managed. What they really want is for the relationship to be productive. They want the relationship to be profitable. And one of the real keys of accomplishing that is I'll often pose a simple query to anybody I'm dealing with. And I'll say to them, okay, I'd like you to stand in front of your peers, and let's imagine that it's a group of 50 or 100 or, for that matter, 1,500. My query is the same. What I'd like you to do is to stand in front of your peers and please share with them a dynamic dozen. And they go, well, what do you mean? I go, these are 12 open-ended need development questions that you would ask either a prospect, a client, a decision maker. They begin with a who, what, when, where, why, which, or how, perhaps a tell me more about. And they are designed to see whether or not you can help them attain that more favorable future by they've got a problem to solve, a need to fill, or a dream or goal to realize. No info dumps on your product or service. Instead, 12 open-ended questions. Now, you have to do them without any major hesitation or pause or reluctance or indecision in between the 12 questions, and you have to do it without any ums or ahs. And if you do it, I'll give you $100 on the spot. I'll give you copies of all my books and CDs on the spot. And guess what? Folks can't do it, guys. Mm-hmm. It's not a skill. I repeat, a skill that they've practiced and rehearsed.
Well, if they could do it, I guess they wouldn't be at your seminar, right? I wanted to, you know, you mentioned that. I think you, in your book you refer to kind of taking a chapter out of the life and times of a journalist and approaching that, right?
Oh, yeah, what you're in reference to is actually one of the profit pillars, which is called Probe and Prosper. And in that section, I share 179 potential questions that you could ask a decision maker. Now, you're never going to get to all 179, and you should never have to. Yet I've kind of culled the list down to what I call kind of a sweet 16. We don't have to do the sweet 16 now, but I could share with you some of my favorites, and they will work for any business. And if you like, I can share those, guys.
How about just, well, we've got less than a minute here, so it's going to be tough. Maybe what we can do is carry that into the next hour, if you'd like, Brad.
We'll touch on it briefly.
Yeah. Why don't we do that? Because you will be around next hour, and we'll jump into more than just one or two. In the less than a minute we have left, any parting wisdom for any of our listeners about how to improve your sales that may not be able to catch back with us next hour?
Well, I think the real key is you need to take action. As I mentioned earlier, that's the most important part. And to continue to reinforce many of the ideas that we've shared so far, if folks would like additional free excerpts from other books, free articles, they are welcome to go to my website at www.jeffblackman.com.
See, screwed up the W's there.
Yeah.
You only had two.
If there's three of them there.
Yeah,
there are three.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I used to think there were seven, but then someone told me there were only three.
Take it away.
Back in just a minute here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Stay with us.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour. Must say something more somehow. So tonight, let it be Lone Brown.
Let it be Lone Brown.
It's been so long. Hey, I'm glad to see you.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. It's a beer hour.
And Lou Rawls.
And Lou Rawls. That's not Lou Rawls.
I think it is.
No, you're thinking of the other.
I think that's Lou Rawls.
You think so?
The reason why I say that is, now, I could be wrong, but you remember when Lou did do some stuff for Anheuser-Busch?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He used to be in and out of St. Louis when I lived there. And, you know, back in those days, it would be interesting to know 20 years ago what a Lou Rawls would have been paid as opposed to the astronomical fees that these guys get today.
They gave him a six-pack. Maybe a 12-pack. Who knows?
You know, that's what they say about working out. Hey, check out my six-pack. Yeah, well, right. I always say, check out my pony keg. You know,
your pony keg.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I was surfing. Well, and by the way, we weren't able to get Jeff's website out. We try to leave this in the hands of the professionals because, you know, the W you don't even have to say nowadays.
No, you can skip that.
So we tell everybody, jeffblackman.com, jeffblackman.com. And if you don't know how to spell jeffblackman.com, you don't need to be on the internet.
No.
There you go. If you want to learn more about Jeff and log on to his website or check out theadvertisingshow.com and you'll hear a complete as we like to say, commercial-free archive after the webcast
exactly,
this morning.
Exactly.
We had a lady that I've been talking to, and I assume she's a lady, but I say talking to. It's not talking. It's been email.
Communicating with.
Yeah, so
right,
communicating right. with who is in Denmark. And mm-hmm. I came across a website called ad-rag.com, and the advertising show link is on there. And she'd mentioned, I say it's she because her name is Da Bitch. That's D-A-B-I-T-C-H.
Yes.
That's her name, not me calling her that.
Maybe it's Dabitch.
It could be.
Yeah.
Anyway, from Denmark, maybe that's a very common name, Dabitch. Yeah, you're right. I say the bitch.
So now you just insulted her.
Well, maybe I did. But anyway, she said people have been listening to the advertising show over in Denmark, yes. And fortunately for them over there, we have the First Amendment keeping us
free, over here.
Right. No, I'm sure it's fine. But anyway, she said that people had been listening to the advertising show through her website and through our website over there. So it's interesting. So log on to ad-rag.com and check it out. It's a cool site.
That's a really cool site.
It is, isn't it?
Very neat, yeah. Very neat. Let's do good advertising right now. Every week we feature the good, not so good. This week it's the good.
And now it's time for the advertising show's advertising showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising for the good stuff. Here's Ray and Brad.
So what you got this week?
Well, you know, weight loss is a big deal. Travel is a big deal right now.
Sure.
And Deutsch out of L.A. created a spot that I thought was just outstanding. And before I mention who it is, let me set the spot up. The spot opens with a young man, late 20s, early 30s, I suppose, sitting at his laptop in his home surfing online for travel arrangements. And he looks over at his wife, and who's lying on the floor thumbing through a magazine, and says, so we're all set for Hawaii, flight, hotel. And then he looks, and she says, hey, surfing lessons. We can book that online? And he goes, yeah, sure we can. And she says, I've always wanted to learn to surf. Now the spot transitions into a futuristic time where they're taking their surfing lessons, and she's lying on the surfboard and asking her hunky instructor, mm-hmm. am I doing this right? And, of course, he replies, yeah, you're a natural. Next, the shot transitions over to her husband, who's sliding off the back end of his surfboard, not doing so well. And the transition now goes back to the husband sitting at his laptop in his living room where it all began, and he looks over at his wife, and he says, or we could go horseback riding.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love that spot.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the announcer voiceover concludes with the spot, with the announcement, rather, activities, another way Expedia helps you create the trip that's right for you. What I like most about this spot, Ray, is that it demonstrates to the viewer how you can not only book your travel arrangements through Expedia.com, but activities as well. And they do it in a humorous and memorable, creative way. The one thing that I found lacking from this spot was any strong connection between the advertiser and the message itself. When I started asking mm-hmm. people around the office, and you might think yourself,
you're exactly right.
You know,
they connect.
Yeah, you knew the spot. It was funny, but the connection that it was Expedia.com was not quite there. I had people say, I'm not sure who the advertiser was, and I had a few say, I think it's Expedia, but I couldn't tell you that for sure. So if the advertiser does air the spot frequently over the next several months, as opposed to pulling the spot in the next 30 days because the client tires of it, maybe they'll reinforce who the advertiser is and make that connection. It's the only weak area of the spot that I could find. But, you know, I think it does a great job of connecting the advertiser with the value of what they're trying to sell there, which is a single objective. The single objective is to sell the fact that you can book activities in addition to travel arrangements online, and they do a great job of that.
That's an episodic spot, too, because that's not the first in the series. I think that's about the third in the series.
Really?
So I would assume that if they're smart, and hopefully that's correct, that they would continue that theme. So I agree with you there.
We'll keep an eye on it and see if they do.
The author of the book Stop Whining and Start Selling is going to be back with us next hour. Jeff Blackman is his name. We're talking to him this weekend out of Glenview, Illinois, which is at the south end of Runway 23 left.
In Chicago.
Yeah. He actually has a radar dome on his roof. It's real cool. hopefully they never dump fuel over his house. I guess. There you go. Anyway, the Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit Ad Age online at adage.com. Always a fun thing to do. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Let me remind you one more time about the website, theadvertisingshow.com. Immediately following today's show, you're going to be able to hear it commercial free. So go there, okay? We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
The Advertising Show, hour number two with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. In this hour, we'll be talking with Jeff Blackman, author of Stop Whining and Start Selling. Great book, and Jeff has done a lot of stuff as far as being a speaker, an author, a success coach, a broadcast personality, and a lawyer. Sounds like the only thing left out was cooking, maybe, or something like that, you know? Anyway, we got Patrick Meyer on the way, too, and, you know, we're talking always about losing weight, especially this time of the year. Patrick's going to talk about carb mania. And Andy Borowitz, humorist Andy Borowitz, has a feature this hour on Wacko Jacko.
You know, I haven't seen him lately on CNN. He was regularly appearing last month, and I've been trying to get over. I know you watch this morning with CNN with Soledad O'Brien and Bill Hemmer.
Well, I've been doing the local stuff recently, so I haven't seen him either, so I don't know whether he's on or off.
I flip over to it, and I apparently am missing, but I'm missing him if he is appearing. I've been catching a little bit of Imus on MSNBC.
Imus is good.
Yeah. He is good.
Is great.
And it gives, for those that aren't don't know what goes on in a studio when you do a morning show,
What goes on. Right.
MSNBC mornings, check your local listings.
And Imus hates NBC, MSNBC.
Yeah, I know.
He always rips him. It's like, what is, shut up.
And I don't know who owns, I think the WFAN in New York, which is where he originates that show, is owned by Infinity, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So that's we'll cross over to the fine folks at CBS. Hey, have you been watching any of this Apprentice, the Donald Trump deal?
No, but I understand Donnie Deutsch has been a part of that.
A week ago he was on that, yes, and I caught that. And I got to tell you, it's also a huge NBC ratings winner for the network, and they've done very well with it. And you can't turn on the TV without seeing Donald Trump promoting the show. But what's interesting is not this past week, but the week before, when they did the fake ad campaign, both teams had to create an ad campaign, and that's where, as you were mentioning, Donnie Deutsch happened to appear. They're actually going to use, Marquee Jets is going to use the ad campaign that was created, and they've gotten some PR out of the deal, and I think it's a smart move on their part to announce that they're going to use that campaign because they're being written up and talked about.
Yeah, why not?
It's a great idea. They're only spending $100,000. They're promoting it in KVBA TV in Aspen and Vail, Colorado. So, you spend $100,000, you know what they're getting in PR value?
Yeah, like about $100 million.
Yeah, a lot more than that.
My goodness.
A lot more than $100,000 anyway.
Let's talk to Patrick Meyer out of New York right now.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to talk to you about carb mania, but also share an interesting lesson that you can apply to your business. Number one, understand the DNA of what your target wants today, not a couple years ago, but today. Taking Miller Beer, as they focused on the turnaround of the Miller trademark, they dove deeply into what the consumer wanted. Bubbling under the surface was this fascination with low carbs, no carbs. Driven by Atkins, there was something that was going on. But it wasn't just low carbs and no carbs, it was with taste, without compromise. Number two, strategically connect your brand to now, but make sure it's strategically right. So in the case of Miller, they took taste and low carbs and married it to a repositioning of their brand. And they did it as part of a brand new ad campaign and marketing campaign called Good Call. So out of the gate, they moved with taste and low carbs, which brings me to number three, move with total singular focus in a 360-degree way and never let up. Number four, set up future chapters that are going to be where the consumer is and anticipate where they're going to be. So for Miller, at a time when everybody else is focused on carbs, Miller's already building the next couple chapters. So the results for Miller, Their business is up everywhere. They've regained momentum going into 2004. But you can do the same thing for your business. Remember, number one, connect to the DNA where your target is now. Number two, make sure you're doing it strategically so it fits with what your direction is. Number three, do it in a 360-degree way. And number four, set up chapters for the future so you can unfold and anticipate where the consumer is going to be. Now it's your turn.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer, and remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
Very important. I think it's a good piece that he does there.
I agree, and I think the tricky part is number four, anticipating where your customers are going to be in the future. Those other three are pretty easy to do.
But I think one of the things that a lot of marketers don't do or business owners don't do is they don't think 360.
You're
they
right.
think only one way. It's
You're
like,
right.
well, you know, what can we do? And, you know, that's almost like wearing blinders.
Yep, so. You're right. And then many people talk about integration. Few can actually execute it. And great advice from Patrick.
Thank you. Mr. Jeff Blackman is coming up next here. Jeff is the author of Stop Whining and Start Selling. He's also the, he's a National Speakers Association. He's a lawyer, which is good.
You keep mentioning that. I think you're rubbing his nose in it.
Am I? Don't mean to.
Well, let's roll up a piece of paper and see if we can train him.
And he's also got some great great audio cassette programs as well.
He's very knowledgeable. Yeah, I like his book. If you haven't had a chance, Stop Whining, Start Selling, I'm sure you can get it at a local bookstore near you or
I bet.
Amazon.com.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's, according to, bestseller status on Amazon.
Is that right?
According to John Wiley and Sons, December 2003.
Well, he has a lot of relatives, so, you know, doesn't take much to drive that up on mine.
He's a big, it's Irish Catholic family.
You know what I like about his book? Back here in the back, it says, he gives a little mention about thank yous. Three pages.
Really?
Yeah, three pages full of, four pages.
Are we in there by any chance?
No mention of us, which I,
maybe you can put us on after the show or something.
I think edition two is going to mention us. Chicago Cubs is the last one that he mentions here. It's four pages.
The Chicago Cubs?
Yeah. As a diehard fan who bleeds Cubby Blue, you taught me to ways to dream, believe, imagine, et cetera.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So Jeff will be joining us next segment. Of course, later on this hour, we've got Andy Porowitz as well.
Yeah. Hey, are you a big Friends fan?
Yeah, a little bit.
They're Why? Sliding a bit on ratings, this being their last season, but NBC is getting a record 2 million for a 30-second spot on its series season finale, which will be in May. Just to give you some kind of comparison, as we've been reporting here for a few weeks now, 2.3 million for the Super Bowl this year. 2 million is 300,000 more than NBC charged for Seinfeld finale back in '98.
Wow.
Does it seem like that long ago?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So apparently, Friends, which again the ratings are not doing as good this season as the seasons past, expecting a big audience for their finale. And 2 million step up to the line, and you can get yourself a 30.
Gosh, spend some time on the creative on that one.
I would hope.
It'd be a good idea.
And don't just replay your Super Bowl spot.
We got the Super Bowl coming up next weekend.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So Pizza Hut has a 4-for-all Super Bowl launch. It's going to be something there. They've $50 million Super Bowl bet. Launching the 4-for-all pizza concept, it combines four individually topped 6-inch by 6-inch square pizzas in a 16-inch pan for $11.99. So they're going to be talking about that.
What's the carbs?
Pretty high, as a matter of fact, probably. But that's Pizza Hut. And they never talked about low-calorie garbage.
Right. You know, I saw on the playoffs last week, buy a Coors Light and you'll only get X number of extra carbs when compared to Miller Lite, and you can burn that off dancing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a great spot.
Yeah, I think I saw that spot too, as a matter of fact. Jeff Blackman, Stop Whining, Start Selling. He'll be on with us next on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
reason we're running so many beer spots in the show today is we're Brad's in training, you know, kind of like a marathon. So, you know, we got Miller Lite at least.
We've got two plugs for Miller. We got Patrick Meyer, and now this.
There we go. Yeah. So back on the advertising show, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today is Jeff Blackman, author of "Stop Whining and Start Selling," and of course some other great publications as well. For over two decades, Jeff has shared his positive and profit-producing messages with numerous Fortune 500 companies, closely held businesses, entrepreneurial-driven organizations, solo practitioners, and association audiences all throughout the world. And today, Jeff is in his hometown of Glenview, Illinois. Jeff, thanks for being on the advertising show.
My pleasure, guys.
You know, Jeff, just a fundamental question first. Who would you define as your target when you wrote this book, other than the obvious, that being, I guess, a sales professional?
That's a great question. I'll kind of give you the thought process. When I sat down and I started to write the book, I really had to determine, okay, who's the true audience? And I really defined the audience as being three types of umbrella individuals, if you will. It's the rainmaker, it's the leader, and it's the executive. So the rainmaker would be the salesperson, the AE, director of business development, maybe even an account manager. The leader would be the CEO, the president, the owner, the entrepreneur, any one of the VPs, whether it's sales or marketing, maybe even a sales or a market manager. And the executive could be someone who's even involved in training or technical support or HR. And plain and simple, that I've been able to help so many types of individuals in businesses over the years that we decided that it'd really be geared to that person, the rainmaker, the leader, the exec, who wants to turn their company into, not my language, but thankfully clients' language, into a profit powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Because the stuff works, guys, and it's been tested by tough, challenging, cynical audiences, as they should be, and those are my clients.
Well, we have business owners of all shapes and sizes, and the big companies, the CEOs of the Fortune 100, all the way down to the smaller companies. And as you describe your three market segments there that you target for the book, and in some cases, I would think, Jeff, that the rainmaker and the CEO and the executive are all the same guy sometimes.
Absolutely.
Or woman.
You bet.
Yeah. So it's a great read for a small business person as well as a large a company that a person that's leading a large company. You know, you mentioned CEOs, and of course that triggers a thought on integrity and ethics that we read so much today about, and in some cases the lack thereof. You suggest in your book that integrity and ethics is a critical issue with regard to one's success. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, let's address that one, and let's be sure to come back to some of the power probes that we started to mention a little bit earlier. Yet let me address the ethics issue first, because I've written about this topic extensively, and I also speak on it. And people often say to me, you're the first guy that we've ever heard talk about the importance of ethics in business development. And from my perspective, it is a total non-negotiable. Everything you do has to be driven by an ethical, honest approach. And I'll often say to people that the best thing about honesty is that it does not require a good memory. Mm. So the relationship must be integrity-based, which means you never lie, cheat, steal, or fudge. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot reduce the relationship to what I call a mind-manipulating, profit-reducing game of who do you trust?
Mm-hmm.
It can't work.
Well, let's imagine that you're selling and you have a distinct advantage over your prospect, and that they don't know what price they should be paying for something. I say, you know, I'm not putting down any particular category, but since we are the advertising show, let's talk about it. When it comes to media, media prices can fluctuate depending on ratings, depending on demand, and frankly, depending on the knowledge of who's buying it. And in some cases, if you can bring back to the media outlet a larger price for something that someone else paid a smaller price for, that's an accolade. That's something you get patted on the back for. So, you know, when is it, when does it become an issue where you should not be overcharging for something that may be giving somebody a deal because they don't know any better? They don't know that they shouldn't be paying that much.
Well, price is merely a reflection of value. So the fact that competitive media, even within the same medium, are charging different prices is valid. As you alluded to earlier, is a 30-second spot on Friends going to deserve the premium $2 million. Well, the perception might be, yay, you bet, as long as they can deliver incredible value. The only way that a 32nd spot will command upcoming at the Super Bowl next weekend, $2 million or more, is the perception that people truly look forward to the advertising. They TiVo through the game to get to the ads.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's a major focus in the Journal, USA Today, when we'll do the ad meter on the Monday following the Super Bowl. As long as you can deliver the outcome and the results that we spoke of earlier, you're entitled to charge a premium.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to value, I've got two key thoughts. One, you always deliver more in perceived value than you take in actual cash value. And the second point is, in the absence of a value barometer, the relationship is going to be reduced to a price eliminator. Now, that means even if you provide great value, but the price appears to be too low, somebody is going to wonder what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something faulty in the product, the service, the delivery vehicle, the distribution channel, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And sometimes a higher price gives the impression of a better quality. But, for example, with wine, for example, that's not always the case.
Well, there's a great story about a product that I'm sure you guys are familiar with called Two Buck Chuck.
Yep.
And it's a $2 bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wine aficionados are really being driven crazy by that because they feel as if it's an affront to their competitive posture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got a manufacturer in California who has discovered a way to produce profitably a $2 bottle of wine.
Charles Shaw.
What he did is he changed the model in the wine industry.
Mm-hmm. I think the label, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's Charles Shaw or something.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that piece a few weeks ago on I can't remember what, one of the news magazines, and frankly, they don't have that product in our home market here of Houston, but yet...
have you tried it, though?
No, I haven't, but they have a lot of people upset out in California, and I agree. It goes against the industry's concept of pricing and so forth. In its most simple form, if you were to break down an element or a few elements, we have about a minute and a half left here, Jeff, of what goes into a successful sales presentation, what would it be?
Well, let's talk about terminology, because you said successful sales presentation, and present implies that someone is presenting, giving information. Let's, in about the next 60 seconds, talk about the importance not of presenting, but another powerful P word, and that's probing. Here are some simple probes that anyone listening now can use and use immediately. So here's something you might be able to ask your decision maker, i.e., what are your key performance or profitability indicators, and how would those be jeopardized by blank or without blank? Here's another one. What are your priorities? Another one. What's the biggest challenge you face in growing your business? What criteria do you use to make a decision? How will we measure success? Here's one of my favorite ones. What's the risk of doing nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. I call it the world's fastest strategic planning question. Where are you now? Where would you like to be? And how would you like to get there?
Let's continue those thoughts and more conversation here in just a minute with Jeff Blackman, author of Stop Whining and Start Selling. Good advice, too. What happens if those folks don't have answers to those questions? You got a problem, right? Exactly. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. We got the wacky world of marketing on the way next. And, of course, a little bit later on this hour, it's Andy Borowitz and a funny thing about Michael Jackson. So how is Michael? A little bit different. Back in just a minute on the Advertising Show.
And now, it's time for the wacky world of marketing.
Wacky world of marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Singapore, where Singaporeans are ushering in this year's Lunar New Year with lucky undies, emblazoned with monkey cartoon characters and traditional red prosperity characters. The Straits Times newspaper reports that more than 1,000 pairs have been sold since their arrival in Singapore from China in late December. A red-headed funky monkey cartoon character is one of the popular items. The underwear comes in pink as well as red, with the Chinese characters reading luck and prosperity. According to Chinese belief, wearing red underwear, especially in the year of the monkey, will bring you luck, because monkeys have red butts. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one. Schaefer pleasure doesn't fade even when your thirst is done. The most rewarding flavor.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, along with Brad Forsyth and our special guest, Jeff Blackman. And yes, that was another beer commercial for Schaefer. Where is Schaefer? Schaefer's out
East
of Detroit,
Coast.
Isn't it?
Well, you may be right. I thought it was east, but...
Maybe Jeff would know.
I forgot to tell you, over the Christmas holiday, I was in... Where was I? I was somewhere in the...
In the Midwest.
Yeah, kind of upper Midwest. And yeah. They had Pabst Blue Ribbon on...
Draft
like you had.
Ooh.
And I got to tell you, you're right. That's some good stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposedly a cheap.
It's making a comeback,
beer,
they
good.
Say. Yeah.
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 There
well,
we go. So that's our fifth beer commercial this hour.
This has been Beer Talk here on The Advertising
Exactly. Show. With Jeff Blackman, author of Stop Whining and Start Selling. Now back to the questions.
Yeah,
Alex.
You know, before the break, we were talking about probing with your prospect, and you were going through a really nice list of power probes. Let's pick up where you left off there, Jeff, and then I want to talk about some negotiation.
Sure. Here are a couple of more. We probably shared, I don't know, maybe five, six, or seven. Let me share with you and the listeners a few more, guys. One of the ones that I like to often ask is, what would you most like to change about your current situation? Here's another one. What kind of resources could be redirected to achieve your goals? How about, what will you value most in our relationship? Very simply asking, what are your expectations? And with corporate folks in particular, what are your strategic initiatives for, i.e., Q2, Q3, mm-hmm. the remainder of the year? And here are two more. What have been some of your concerns when previously considering fill in the blank? What can I do to make sure that never happens when you work with me and our It could be station, channel, team, etc. And here's one final one. How soon would you like to implement a game plan, action plan, strategy, direction, creative solution that will help you? And this is where you refer to their specific goal. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't merely ask, how soon do you want to get started? That's a deadline question. You instead ask the deadline question based upon the benefit and the goal they've articulated. If they said it, it's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you use probes to focus on their hopes, dreams, and desires as opposed to merely the info dump.
You know, we were talking about a segment or two ago about managing clients' expectations. We hear so much about that in advertising, and I was pulled into an unusual meeting. I normally wouldn't be exposed to this several weeks ago. It was some media reps that were pitching our media director and a client and I were sitting in on this meeting, and they asked that question. They said they followed up with me later, as if I make the media decisions around the agency, which I don't. But they asked me what my expectations were, what my client's expectations were, and I turned it around on them and I said, you tell me what you think they should be. And they kind of, there was a long pause there because they weren't expecting me to say that.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, expectations, rather than me tell them, why don't they tell me? They're the ones selling me, right? What do you think, Jeff?
Well, that could be effective, yet they would still have to come back and clearly define, Brad, what you want to accomplish. Because if you were to pose that question to me, I could say, Brad, based upon others that I've been able to help, some of their expectations have included yada, yada, and yada. They've been extremely satisfied with the results with respect to yada, yada, and yada.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of those, Brad, which are most important to you?
Yeah, I think what I would give me is just a gauge of what others' actual performance were, regardless of their expectations of purchasing, you know, whatever it is they were selling. And I think it, rather than blindly tell them what your expectations are, your expectations may be greater than what reality would suggest they could deliver.
The key is that you remove the assumptive process, and the only way that happens is through dialogue, not monologue.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And so many salespeople come in and sell rather than communicate, and obviously they don't end up being in sales very long unless they figure out it really is all about communication. Let's talk about negotiation. We've got a couple minutes left in this segment, Jeff. Negotiation's a big deal, I guess, in the advertising world, certainly media buying and negotiating client compensation packages, et cetera. Let's talk a little bit about some objections that you might receive in the negotiation process and how you might handle those kind of things.
Well, one of the interesting things about negotiations and objections is they're part of the game, and you have to accept that. And I think it's important to realize that an objection should not terminate dialogue. It should really help promote it. Because my perspective is that it's nothing more than a delay. It's a tangent, maybe even a couched inquiry for some more information. Some time ago, guys, I got a call from a telemarketer, and I look forward to these calls because, to me, it's what I call research. And the telemarketer didn't ask a question, quickly did an info dump, and said, and I quote, "The reason I'm calling is to send you information on our new credit card." And I said, "Not necessary. Thank you. That was nice of you to call." Here was his response. There was a long sigh, a loud ugh, and an audible moan, and then the guy hung up. Now, not a snappy comeback. No. Now, here's what's confusing and mind-boggling to me, is that I can't imagine he hadn't heard the objection before, but he wasn't prepared. So it's important to first realize that objections fall into four categories. Here they are. One, somebody's got no bucks, or at least will claim they've got no bucks. Two, they've got no desire. Three, no sense of immediacy. And then four, no belief.
Let's stop on four there, and we'll take a break here with Jeff Blackman. Stop Whining, Start Selling, that's the name of the book, and we'll be back with Jeff for another segment here on the Advertising Show in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
There is just one Schlitz, nothing else comes near. When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins along with Brad Forsyth. And when you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have some Löwenbräu or something around the house.
Yeah, we're going to get AA as a sponsor here on the show. You keep this up, right?
I know. I think that's the last beer commercial this hour.
Yeah.
All right. On our special guest, Jeff Blackman, the book is called Stop Whining and Start Selling.
And you know, when Jeff last segment was talking about the telemarketer and that he heard a loud ugh and a long moan, I thought anybody tuning in right then may be thinking he may have nothing to do with sales, but he's a great author, author of Stop Whining, Start Selling. And you mentioned objections being no bucks, no desire, no immediacy, and no belief, just wrapping up last segment. Talk a little bit about each one of those. But before you do that, Jeff, I want to ask you, is there ever a time when a delay, like I'll think it over, is a legitimate, you know, objection that somebody just wants a little time?
Well, that's a fun one. So let's kind of role play for a second. Imagine that you say to me, Jeff, I'd like to think it over. Go ahead, just say that.
Okay, Jeff, if you don't mind, I'm kind of busy right now. I've heard your pitch. I like what you have to say, but I don't make spur-of-the-moment types decisions. Give me a day or two and call me back.
I can understand why you'd want a day or two to think this over. Are you sure that a day or two, though, Brad, is enough time?
You know, I'm a busy man. I really can't tell you for sure, but what I can tell you is I'm not going to be making that decision right now because my mind's on other things and I need to get off the phone or get out onto my other things, but I promise you I'll make a decision in the next day or two.
Excellent. And I wanted to make sure that that is sufficient time for you to consider it. So by you taking that day or two, would it be fair to say that this is really something that is valuable to you and something that you've got significant interest in?
Well, if I didn't have interest, we wouldn't have just spent the last hour hearing your presentation.
Brad, others have found that the benefit of us being together now is that together we can consider what's really most important to you. And if you'd like, we can address whatever your concerns are and make sure that you are totally satisfied with our solution to that.
Well, I tend to be the kind of person that likes to reflect on conversations. So now that I have the information and you've done a very comprehensive job today, I believe I have everything I need to make that decision, and I'll be making it in the next day or two.
Great. Now, I'm coming out of role-play mode, so
to speak. Wait a minute. I now pronounce you man and wife.
I wanted to say you're getting on my nerves, Jeff, if you...
Yeah. Well, what will happen is that objection really doesn't surface very often if you've done the effective probe.
Yeah.
So I don't get that one very often, guys. Yeah. And that's why the probe is so
important.
But,
I mean,
important.
As I ask, is there ever a legitimate time when, you know, I mean, there are times that I personally just, you know, want some time to reflect, and I've had others say that to me, and I take them at their word, and I don't think it's a stall. I think it's just they want a little time.
Legitimate, right.
That may be. And, again, it goes to defining expectations.
Yeah.
So many times I might be able to say to someone, okay, when we get together next week to review the action plan, what do you want us to be able to accomplish at that specific meeting?
Yeah.
And people will say, hey, together we'll figure out whether we're going to move forward or not.
Yeah.
Now, they've defined the expectation, yay or nay. So, therefore, it's unusual for me to hear from someone, well, I'd like to take some additional time to think it over.
I got you.
Now, I never push somebody on their request for additional time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I ask, how much time would you like? And if they say, well, I need 2 days, I immediately say, are you sure that's enough time?
Yeah.
No one's ever asked them that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm willing to give them more time.
Right.
And then often what will happen is we'll say, well, here's my real concern. Excellent.
Yeah, I got you.
Now that we've isolated that concern, aside from that, Brad, is there anything else? Mm-hmm. Ray, is there anything else? Hey, guys, if we can address that to your total satisfaction, would you then be comfortable in moving ahead?
Jeff, we have a minute and a half. I want to get back to those no bucks, desires, immediacy, or belief.
Here are the strategies.
Yep.
If somebody claims they've got no bucks, focus on quality, value, and ROI.
Mm-hmm.
If they claim they've got no desire, you better probe, and then you better probe some more. You better find a problem to solve, a need to fill, or a dream or goal to realize. If those don't exist, no worries, move on.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no immediacy, then you've got to help them eventually answer the question, how does time become your enemy if you choose to do nothing? That is a powerhouse probe. If they've got no belief, that means they're skeptical about you, your company, product, or service. Therefore, you got to instill confidence and faith. Well, how do you do that, guys? You focus on proof, testimonials, analogies, case studies, demonstrations. Could even be comparative analysis, exhibits, success stories, research, stats. You have to give demonstrative, substantive proof of how others have benefited.
Could you argue that if they're skeptical, well,
we can't get into that.
Sorry.
Right, because there's not enough time,
Jeff,
but that's okay.
Thanks for enjoying. I've enjoyed talking to you today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Jeff Blackman has Stop Whining, Start Selling. It's jeffblackman.com, and we'll be back for a final segment here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Thanks, guys.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin, indeed.
As if that could make me resist Charmin's cushiony, soft texture. So squeezably soft.
It's Mr. Whipple on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsythe. And please don't squeeze the Charmin. Mm-hmm. The author of Luke Sullivan's book.
Oh, that's true. Don't squeeze this Whipple.
Uh-huh.
Squeeze this Whipple.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Or Whipple squeeze this.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good talking to Jeff. Don't forget, it's jeffblackman.com. That's a website. The book is called Stop Whining, Start Selling. And available at Amazon. If you want to go to his website, I'm sure he's got directions there,
Notice
too.
Notice how Ray didn't even take .com and you knew where it was.
Yeah, how about
Amazon.
That?
Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. What a concept.
You know, you don't hear .com much anymore. Expedia, the spot we mentioned last hour, says .com.
Well, they've dropped their little jingle. I don't recall hearing that anymore. Remember when they had the, those, like, bluegrass guys singing that?
I will tell you that, yes, I do remember that. And you don't, but on the other hand, Monster has dropped .com. They just call themselves Monster now.
Smart.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's do this. Why don't we get Andy on?
Okay.
Then we get back and wrap up the show here. On The Advertising Show, it's Andy Borowitz.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show.
And now, here's this week's feature from the Borowitz Report.
The Michael Jackson case took another bizarre turn this past week as the self-styled king of pop dangled a member of his legal team from a hotel balcony in Beverly Hills. Thousands of Mr. Jackson's fans who were waiting for a precious glimpse of their embattled idol cheered as the singer appeared on the balcony carrying his lawyer, whose face appeared to be covered by a towel or a blanket. But those cheers turned to gasps as Mr. Jackson mischievously dangled his lawyer from the 15th floor balcony before quickly withdrawing to the luxury suite. In the aftermath of the lawyer dangling incident, legal experts questioned the wisdom of Mr. Jackson's latest stunt, arguing that dangling one's lawyer from a hotel balcony might taint the jury pool for his upcoming trial. Jurors could interpret Michael Jackson's dangling his lawyer as a sign of arrogance, said Professor David Prentice of the University of Minnesota School of Law. It's as if he were saying, I'm so sure I'm going to win this case, I don't care if my lawyer plunges to his doom. But a spokesperson for Mr. Jackson defended the singer's actions. Michael Jackson is an entertainer, and I think everyone would agree that seeing a lawyer dangled from a hotel balcony is entertainment at its finest. In Mr. Jackson's arraignment last week, Judge Rodney Melville warned the singer, you started off on the wrong foot with me after Mr. Jackson reportedly approached the bench and dangled Judge Melville from it.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from The Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to BorowitzReport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
You know, Michael's going too far. He's just going too doggone far.
I think you're
right. Cut it out, Michael.
Yep.
You can get in trouble. Oh, you already are in trouble. Whoops.
I liked him when he had a, you know, just a slightly larger nose.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of much better things about him back then.
I saw a picture.
I really feel bad for him.
I do, too. He's a talented guy, and I saw some pictures of him when he was, I guess, doing the Pepsi commercials back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he was.
And he was peaking, I think, right about then.
Mm-hmm.
Who was he dating? Well, I don't remember her name. Always suspect of that. But then, of course, he married Presley.
Right.
And then...
Well, that lasted almost as long as, what's her name, Las Vegas lady.
Yeah.
No, a little bit longer. A little bit longer.
Brittany.
Yeah, Brittany.
Yeah. Hey, you know, since we have a worldwide audience now with ad-rag.com, which incidentally, if you I'd like to see a really cool website, ad-rag.com out of... where did we say that was? Denmark.
Denmark, right.
Yeah, we have a... So I wanted to mention a... Sorry?
No, sure.
Well, apparently in the latest bid to curb rising obesity levels in the UK, Coca-Cola has agreed to remove its advertising from vending machines in Scottish schools.
Really?
In what is thought to be...
Just market Diet Coke.
Well, in what it is thought to be the first type of agreement of its kind in the world, Coke has agreed to a deal where to replace its branding on the machines with images of young people on urban streets. Coke will still be on sale inside, but water and fruit juice will be available as well. So taking the big giant like Coke and doing a little arm twisting, yeah. You know, hooray for the Scottish schools to get them to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a little bit arm twisting. But again, why don't they just put Diet Coke in the machines?
Well, they're putting water and fruit juices. Which is good. Yeah, I think
so. Which is good.
Yeah.
Speaking of juices, the Jamba Juice.
Yeah,
Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm, sure.
It's a kind of a cool place.
I think they're franchised, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And they've got some good stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently their products are pure and wonderful. Guy Zapolian is a consultant for radio. Some people know Guy
mm-hmm.
in the business.
Right.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Heard of it.
He's talking about this, how to drive mails to radio, you know, advertisement and such like that. They say rock is still the top, alternative and hip-hop and talk. Sports, talk and sports are pretty far down the list, but here's what I like he said. He said, I think the best radio stations, regardless of format, are not heard, they are felt. In other words, take an active role in whatever you do, and you just can't run the ads. You got to do something else beyond that.
I like that.
Smart news.
Yeah,
smart stuff. That's Guy's thoughts. And
Guy's thought for the day.
That's an Ad Age this week, as a matter of fact, this past week.
Great story.
Advertising show. We've got, let's see, Melanie Wells, senior editor from Forbes magazine, and she'll be joining us next week on the advertising show. And it'll be better than watching the Super Bowl or anything else associated with that, right?
Starts way later than the show anyway.
That's true.
As a rule.
So you can have a pregame party with the advertising show. Mm-hmm. What a good concept.
Oh, yeah.
And the advertising show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The advertising show is a Big Radio Midgets production.